8:25 on this finally Friday broadcast. This is Ed Kowalski sitting in for Tom Sipos, who's off doing some errands. As Robbie, you described it as doing some whatever. We'll come up with the word in terms of what Tom is doing. We are pleased to welcome to our microphones this morning sitting District 17 County Legislator Doug McCool. Doug, thank you so much for coming on in. And I wanted to just, as you said, as you listened to, we had a segment with Ann Berger, who is a candidate for District 2. Tony DiAquani is hoping to regain his District 5 seat. And I'm just going to ask you between now and the bottom of the hour, and then we're going to come back to the 9 o'clock hour with you, what is the county legislative process? What is the county doing correct? And what, in your opinion, need that is happening that is wrong, and how do we end up correcting it?
Well, Ed, first of all, thanks for having me.
Indeed.
Happy to be here. Well, I think it's all about what the title of the position. We're called county legislators, and our job is literally to legislate.
Yep.
And
at the county level.
At the county level. At the county level, exactly. And we've lost sight of that this year with the new majority taking over. You know, we have a great county executive. She's got a tough job right now. She's had a tough job. You have to keep in mind, we went through three county executives within 3 years.
Yeah.
A few years back, from Marcus to Bill O'Neill and now Sue. And she's got the deck stacked against her right now with the current majority on the legislature. It's been a tough run, but at the same time, we haven't done any local legislation. A few pieces here and there, but compared to where we've been over the past few years under the leadership of Chairs Greg Pulver, Will Truitt, we are getting nowhere. And it's so frustrating to some of us, you know, all of us in the minority caucus, and a lot of Republicans in general should be upset with the way it's been going, because we're talking about things that have no business in the county.
100%. And as I was mentioning to Ann and to Tony, from my perspective as a constituent, I just find it to be laughable in terms of sort of what is being put out there that people are just in effect taking positions on, and it has nothing to do with how we elected them. I've seen you speak at the legislative meetings, and you're very common sense orientated, and you've made those points very, very well, better than I can make them.
Oh, well, that's the first I've ever heard that. Can you call my wife and tell her that?
Sure.
I'm good at speaking? Wow.
No, but from now, how long have you been in the legislature?
So I got elected to the legislature 2019. My first term began 2020, right at the start of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I was on the town board in the town of Fishkill for about 6 years.
Okay. All right. So from your perspective, sitting where you are right now, is your level of frustration high in terms of sort of what's going on?
That's a soft way to put it.
Okay.
Very soft way to put it. I think maybe last month I caught a little attention for comments that were made at a legislature meeting.
Yes.
With regards to the way the majority caucus was handling business with the homeless shelter that we've been trying to put in Poughkeepsie since I've been on the legislature. That's how long this has been going on. Mm-hmm.
Again, from a constituent's perspective, and Tony DiAquani addressed this very, very well, the process that the majority used to be able to call you guys back into session to not have a vote on it was just it was laughable.
It was laughable and you know, extremely frustrating, especially considering, you know, you think about the resources that go into something like that. And the county executive's office really proactively making sure that she had everyone in there that could answer any questions that members of the legislature had. She had them all there between, you know, her deputy county executive, her staff, the budget director, the commissioner of family and human services, the commissioner of planning. Everyone that could answer questions was there to do it, and they didn't ask one.
And it's the same, and what was frustrating from my perspective, and I think the reason that a lot of people get turned off to politics, is that you see this going on, and you say to yourself, I would be fired if I ran a meeting, if I did that in a business setting.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yep.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to be back with Doug McCool to talk more about this. You're listening to Hudson Valley Focus on the Beacon. We'll be right back. Well, 8:35. This is Ed Kowalski in for Tom Sipos on the Beacon. We are rejoined behind the microphone by Doug McCool. Which is the coolest name, I think, for anybody to ever have. Doug McCool.
Technically the hoolest name.
The hoolest name. There
right,
you go.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Doug is representing the town of Fishkill in District 17 as a legislator. He's been on the legislative board for
6 years.
6 years. Let's talk about that for half a second. When you think about some of the things that you've done, I want to go right down to some of the things that you feel you've done, that you've made a difference. Well, is there any one vote that you've taken that you're particularly more proud of than others, if you will?
Oh, that's a good question, Ed. You know, I would say having started as a legislator in 2020, you know, within 3 months of beginning my first term, you know, we get hit with the pandemic. And then that summer, and the summer after, actually, the federal government, you know, with the American Rescue Plan Act, threw so much money at every municipality across the country. So just to give you a general idea of how much money was given out, Dutchess County government alone was given $50 million, just Dutchess County government. You know, we have 30 municipalities between the two cities, 8 villages, 20 towns. Each of those municipalities, they were also given money. The school districts were given money. There's a lot of federal taxpayer money that at some point someone will have to pay back. God bless my kids and their kids. But, you know, the silver lining to that was that at the time our county exec, Mark Molinaro, said, you know, we've got this money. Let's use it where it counts. So he created the Learn, Play, Create program. And, you know, it incentivized the legislators to really, really get out there. And, you know, I think at one point I might have gotten in trouble for comparing our jobs to being pirates. And I looked at my job as the pirate representing District 17, and my job was to jump on someone's ship and take as much money as I could and bring it to my district. And it created not only a really good competition among the legislators in the best way possible, meaning we were out there advocating for our districts, finding ways to fund youth programs, parks, and then, you know, brick and mortar across Dutchess County. And that, given the circumstances that we were under during the pandemic, that was some amazing legislation that we were able to pull together and really fund programs throughout the county where it really matters, especially for our kids.
Now, you've served for years were you the liaison in the Health and Human Services Committee?
I was the liaison to the Board of Health.
To the Board of Health.
Yep.
Okay, that's so let me ask you this question specific to, and Ann touched upon this a little earlier on with some of the volunteer work that she ends up doing with Dutchess Outreach. And I think that we're very fortunate in the county to basically, there's a lot of resources that are available specific to mental health and addiction before someone reaches the point of crisis. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, are there enough resources being given in that area?
Well, there are three sides, you know, when it comes to mental health or addiction issues. You have prevention, treatment, and then when it comes to the legal side of things, how do we handle things from there, right? So, you know, over the last few years, we've seen a 50% decrease in overdose deaths across the county, which I really attribute to our Dutchess County Drug Task Force. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm happy to have sponsored legislation last year. We were able to get someone finally from the town of Fishkill. But, you know, you've got cops from throughout the county that are all part of this task force. And, you know, one of the more frustrating issues that has happened so far this year, and I heard Tony on the air speaking about it earlier, you know, the county legislature really doesn't like to propose memorializations. But this year it seems to be most of what we've been doing. But one of the proposed memorializations this year was to basically send a letter to the governor in support of the MELT Act. So for those of you that aren't familiar, the MELT Act is a state proposed state law which would prohibit law enforcement agents at all levels from wearing face coverings, right? I think with the exception of SWAT, right? So because they have to wear their face shields. And obviously this comes from the national dialogue arguing about what's happening with ICE, whether you agree or disagree with it. The fact of the matter is that's not my job. My job is to worry about Dutchess County and specifically my district. And the fact is I don't want members of the Dutchess County Drug Task Force doing these operations, and when they need to do a sting or they need to do a bust, they should be able to cover their faces, you know, not to protect themselves, but their families. God forbid, you know, everyone's got a phone. Anyone can film things that are happening. We all see it. We see the viral videos every day, every minute of every day. And the fact is that, you know, the Dutchess County Legislature, the night that that memorialization was proposed, I asked on the floor, I said, I'd like to find out if any members that sponsored this bill have spoken with the sheriff. And then not one raised their hand. And I said, well, I already knew the answer to that in any case. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the fact that they're passing this legislation without even talking to the people that, you know, really know what they're talking about, it's ridiculous. And it's crazy. This is the kind of stuff that we're dealing with this year, Ed.
And that's the kind of stuff, as I said to both Ann and to Tony, that make me crazy in terms of as a constituent, because I say to myself, we deserve a better government. We deserve legislators who know what they're doing, who are collaborative, who don't have to always agree with each other, but they have to keep in mind who they are serving. And when you see this kind of stuff coming out, it defies common sense. Because I think everybody who's listening to me right now can find commonality in what you just said.
Sure.
And even if they didn't, or even if they couldn't, the question that you asked that night is, how many of you have spoken to Sheriff Imperati specific to what his feelings are on this? And not one of them raised their hands in the affirmative. And that to me is something that's akin to, you know, me going into court and a judge asking me, did you read the motion before you filed it? And they're like, oh, no, Your Honor, I didn't, but it's 74 pages. I'm sure it's good.
Sure, yeah.
Right. I mean, think about that. Think about the absurdity of that. And think about the responsibilities that voters have to be able to ask that question. I know it's very hard to be able to ask a question to an elected official. I know it's very hard because they you know, a lot of them hide behind sort of the trappings of their office.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't necessarily know what you're talking about. Oh, that's a silly question. There's no questions that are silly coming from a constituent. There's no, I mean, I subscribe to the idea of talk to me like I'm in sixth grade. Help me understand what that's all about. And I think one of the things that you've done so well is the ability of being able to make those points in a very measured way, as Tony DiAquani said, and I think I view you, what you do on the floor, as very common sense orientated. And I hope that we have the ability of being able to restore that come the November elections. Because if we don't, I am worried about the future of Dutchess County.
You should be.
Right.
You should be. Everyone should be. You know, I've been telling a lot of people this year, I don't know if, you know, people are familiar with what happened at the state level last year. So it was the state, you know, it's always been kind of the tradition in this country that your federal and state elections are held in even-ended years, and then your local elections are held in odd-ended years. I don't know if this is something that's been discussed on the show this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was legislation proposed by Albany 3 years ago, which would basically force all elections, even local elections, to be held in even-ended years, which really creates this giant conflict where, you know, this year you've got congressional midterm elections going on, and you're going to be voting for candidates from the federal level all the way down to the town level, including the county level. So at the time when the legislation was first proposed, you know, the Republican caucus of the county really, you know, we didn't know where to go with it, so we actually sued Albany for it. And other counties jumped on board, and as a matter of fact, it was Nassau County. When they came on board, they were like a knight in shining armor, like, wow, Nassau's, you know, joining our cause. And we won the lawsuit. We won the lawsuit, and they won the appeal. So at the end of the day, it came down to a Democrat-appointed judge making that final decision. So now what do you have? In Dutchess County, a place like Dutchess, which is very, it's, you know, we're over the purple line. A lot of people don't realize that, but we are now a blue county, statistically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been the last couple of years. So in a year, in an even-ended year, I mean, imagine 2 years from now, you're going to have a presidential election year. And you're going to have that, and your ballot will, you know, well, that's another issue, is how wide your ballots are going to be, or how many sides they're going to have, or how many ballots you're going to have to put in, because you're going to be voting for everyone from the president all the way down, state offices, you know, president, your congressional offices,
town,
your state
council,
offices,
whole nine yards.
County, town, all the way down. But certain jobs are exempt from it. And, you know, and that was one of the ideas that was proposed, was, well, it'll make more sense. It'll make things more proficient or efficient, excuse me. And it's like, you know, judges won't have to be, so you'll still have to vote every year, no matter what. And then that's going to cause so much more confusion, where people are going to be like, no, I voted last year. I don't vote in odd-ended years anymore. And that's not the case. It was really the, you know, the argument was that it would save money. And we wanted to, we were like, well, how would it save money? And we've got the Commissioner of Elections telling us he's going to need new printers.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need to, even the platforms that you vote in would need to be widened to accommodate new ballots, new paper.
And what you would have, as you're pointing out so succinctly, is that you'd end up having the coattails of a presidential election is going to be able to carry, if you will, the everybody forward.
Correct.
You know?
Correct. And that's not the way this system was designed.
Right.
You know? That's not the way.
Right.
The reason why it was set up this way was to prevent that sort of
thing. And the problem that I have with it, and I've just mentioned it to Ann, and I mentioned it to Tony, I speak a lot about it on air, I can't even get my elected officials who are now Democrats to come on the show to just be able to talk about some of these issues.
They don't like to answer real questions.
Well, and that's a shame because that's not what this is all about. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Doug McCool in just 1 minute. You're listening to Hudson Valley Focus. This is Ed Kowalski. We'll be right back. Robbie, it's Friday. It's not Monday here. It's Friday on the Labor Day weekend show here. Holy cow, Labor. Where did this year go, guys? What's happening?
And just a quick reminder before we head out, Hudson Valley Focus Live will be taking Labor Day off, so
well-deserved.
We'll be back on Tuesday for those who will be missing us.
There you go, Robbie. Thank you very much. Doug, in the last couple minutes that we have with you, what would you like to say not only to your constituents about the upcoming November election, but to people who are listening to the show today to talk about, you know, Ann Berger running for District 2 legislative seat, Tony DiAquani running to reclaim his District 5 seat. What would you say to people who are listening in terms of how important this election is?
I can tell everyone listening that this is, when it comes to local elections, and especially at the county level, this is the most important year that we've faced yet. And I really mean that, and I truly mean that, because having lost the majority last year, which came, you know, out of left field, we knew that this year would be hard given the even year election law. We knew this was going to be a tough year. Last year somewhat blindsided us. So this is the year that is going to basically draw the line between whether or not the Republicans are able to come back and hold on to Dutchess County. If we don't this year, honestly, Ed, it's going to be a long time before we see any change back in the right direction.
I've heard estimates of like 25 years.
It's probably a matter of maybe people who are Democrats who then, you know, tax themselves and the rest of us out of the state, and then maybe we'll be able to get it back. But I want to make sure that your listeners understand this. You can be a Republican, you can be a Democrat, you can be a moderate. This is all about how the individuals are familiar with their district and Dutchess County. In my opinion, you know, it just happens to be that a lot of the people who were elected last year, a lot of people who are running this year, they're not familiar with Dutchess County. They're not familiar with the history. They're not familiar with the politics. They've been told from the federal level down, and this is a scary thing. If you were to go, anyone can Google, you know, Google New York State campaign finance, and you can look up any of the campaign finance disclosures for any race going on. And if you were to go and look at some of these legislature candidates from the left, look at their donors. It's a little scary. They're not from their districts. They're not from Dutchess County. A lot of them aren't even from the state of New York.
Right.
Where are they from? They're from the D.C. metropolitan area. They're from Arlington, Virginia. And then they're from Boston. And they're from New York City, Brooklyn. You know, these are the donors that are padding the campaigns of some of these candidates. And it's scary because, you know, a lot of us on our caucus are business owners. You know, you take myself, John Metzger, Mike Palachik, Andrew House. These are business owners. We have a budget in our own business, in our own household.
And you know how to run it.
That we're responsible for.
100%.
You said earlier, if you handled a job a certain way, you'd be fired.
100%.
No question, right? What are we doing? So everyone, please pay attention. Look at both candidates. If you're on the fence, look into it. See, do they know your district? Are they familiar with Dutchess County? Are they familiar with the process?
Are they talking the issues that affect you?
Exactly. And who's giving them money?
Mm-hmm.
And if not local people, why are they getting money from outside of the county and outside of New York State? It's a little spooky. It really is.
Interesting. Doug, I can't thank you enough for coming on in today.
No, it's been great. And we're
going to be doing this regularly up to November. I know. I'll see Ann around. Ann and Tony, I'll see them. I run into them all the time. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your service to the county. And thank you for coming in and talking honestly. I think one of the things that we try to be able to do here is be transparent and talk about the issues that really affect everybody in this wonderful community.
Imagine that.
Imagine being able to talk about issues.
Just being real and truthful. It's crazy.